My name is Lindsay. I invite you to join me with my guest, Dr. Eric Dorninger, naturopath from Boulder, Colorado. Welcome back. We fondly call you Dr. D.
Thank you. Great to be here again, Lindsay.
It is always so much fun to have you here on the air. And if you have not heard Dr. Dorninger, let me tell you a little bit why I invited him on the show. The very first time I had you on the show, you referred to yourself as the last resort doctor. And since that time, I have heard from actually a lot of your patients saying, oh, this guy is amazing. I had been to every specialist in town because of this certain ailment, or most dramatically, taken my child to all these specialists in town. Nobody could really do anything. And they bring them to you. And you have some wonderful, interesting, innovative, and also very ahead of the curve ways of looking at things. Tell us a little bit about how you got into this and how you became known as the last resort doctor.
It's always rewarding to hear people are giving you good feedback. And
fabulous feedback.
When people get better, it's still probably even more today than when I started that I just never take for granted. When you're starting out, you just get so excited about a couple people getting really better. And then as you start doing medicine over the years, and I know you with Dr. Blanchette have seen this, you have that moment where you look yourself in the mirror and you reevaluate and you say, statistically, how many folks are really turning around because they've been to see us? Or like with Dr. Blanchette, how many people are truly preventing heart attack and stroke? And his stats are so wonderful. You say, that's a guy I want to learn from on heart disease. He's got that one down. What I realized naturopaths were at the beginning for a lot of people were an alternative to answer finding when they weren't getting anywhere, maybe in primary care. They had been a neurologist, they'd been an endocrinologist. Maybe they got a little bit of relief of suffering from appropriate medications, prescriptions that were meant to take the edge off or mitigate or calm symptoms. But these people were just seeking out doctors and practitioners who would dig deeper on their case. At one point, I thought I wanted to be an emergency medicine doctor. It really made sense to me because it's modern medicine at its best. It's what we love about our healthcare model. You know, you're in crisis, and your job is to keep a patient alive and stabilize a patient. And that's where things like corticosteroids and antihistamines and surgery and ORs are totally appropriate. But then the other three quarters of the population is not an acute, not an urgent, not a heavy terminal cancer patient. They're just chronic disease.
Exactly.
And, you know, we talk about chronic disease from two standpoints. We say you either have maybe one symptom pretty bad and it's just not resolving, but you're relatively functional in life. And I think of some of the people I've seen for headaches, they've had an MRI. It's not a tumor. And you ask them how long they've had these headaches and they say 9 years. And they're still able to be moms. They're still able to go to work. They're still able to attend a master's program or go exercise. But they have a headache all the time. And as someone who doesn't get headaches frequently, I always think about that when I get a headache. I'm like, oh my gosh, I saw that person last Monday. This is what they go through day in and day out. Then there's the other patient who's just a total puddle. Their life is evaporating because physiology is so dysfunctional. They have debilitating fatigue. Their brain isn't working. They do get headaches. Their body's in pain. They don't sleep well. And those are the two kind of categories we see for last resort mystery illness. Life is relatively functional, but they're suffering. And wouldn't it be nice to not have that headache? And then other people who, they're disappearing from participation in society. So I just, over the years, started tagging along with people who are really good at this or really good at that. And, you know, a lot of people know Datis Karazian's a buddy of mine, and he really brought me up to speed on a lot of things with autoimmunity and immune confusion. And Hashimoto's, or autoimmune hypothyroid, was something I really learned from him. But then one day in bed, I said, thinking, well, that's still not a finished diagnosis. Why is the immune system making antibodies to the thyroid? So then you get into deeper immune confusions,
right,
which biotoxin.
Right.
And then I saw Dr. Blanchette for the first time, and I'm like, that's my long-lost older brother.
You know,
he's been really wondering why the healthcare system keeps walking down this road of wasteful dollars, not resolving cases, and still dealing with premature heart attack and stroke as the number one cause of death in men and women, and figured it out. And, you know, I got really charged up by these teachers and these mentors. And then, of course, there's Richie Shoemaker, who really refused to turn his back on really weird cases in Pocomoke, Maryland, which is where the understanding of the interface between sick buildings and mystery illness has come. And one thing, you know, my wife might say, or my friends or family might say is, whenever I get involved in something, I go big. You know, I'm all in. And, you know, I went to CU in the 90s, so whether that was keg party and getting fired up for a football game, right. I was all in, you know. Ironically, it's that same drive with medicine that's like, we got to be determined and courageous enough to, and relentless enough to keep trying to get the case diagnose, keep trying to get that human being in front of you who's searching and searching answers. Tell people every day, I'm not a medical intuitive. I don't have a crystal ball. I'm just a hardworking, relentless diagnostician that relies heavily on leadership from other experts in the field, and then take what they do and practice it and put my own little spin on it and hopefully get an answer to why things are going on rather than what is going on. We talk about it every day. I say, okay, so you got told you were ADD. You have attention deficit disorder. You just told a doctor you're having trouble focusing and attending.
Right.
And they felt proud to announce to you
that you have trouble.
I'm going to give this an acronym. Right. You have attention deficit disorder. Now it's official. I don't mind that as quick language to banter back and forth, one doctor talking to another, or a quick conversation with a patient. But we say, okay, I hear that you don't focus and attend well. Now let's figure out why. And that's what I call a diagnosis. And it should be about...
why?
Why? It should be about 2 to 3 pages long, in all sincerity, on an average human being. This is wild three-dimensional physiology. You know, and it's not... and again, I'm not down on someone's failing out of school and a little Ritalin is going to get them through that semester. I'm not even judgmental. I tell people I'm not a medical racist. I don't think that model is stupid. You should not stop asking why. You can say, hey, I'll prop them up with this Ritalin, but in the meantime, I'm going to keep trying to figure out why this is going on. We do it a little different. We try and go big and heavy on diagnosis on the front end so we can avoid unnecessary medications. But sometimes you catch people in such crisis that they just need to be propped up and supported while you're digging for the deeper underlying causes. So
I like the way you put it, while you are looking for the why, and you never stop looking for the why until you get the answer.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to point out is you made a point of telling us that you have your mentors or your experts that you go to. I just think everybody should know that you just don't go by who has the biggest publicity.
Mm-hmm.
You and Dr. Blanchette are kind of out of the same mold in that you guys do your research. You guys are what I lovingly and fondly called study geeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because a study gets published, the only thing that means is that it got published. That does not mean it's a good study. And you guys rip it apart to the point where, at least I know Blanchette, he recalculates all the figures in the study that was published to make sure they're correct. You probably come close to doing that as well.
And as a dad and a doctor and a friend and a husband and a son, you know, there's a lot of things I'd rather do on many of my days than medicine. I remember hanging out with Bill on a Sunday afternoon with Dr. Blanchette at his office on a couple cases that we were co-managing. I kind of looked at him and I was like, we're either really cool or we're big losers, you know,
because we're
sitting here on a Sunday afternoon. It's like 75 degrees out. It's sunny, gorgeous. But it was so nice to find a friend who wants answers for patients. And again, there's days where you just have to back off. You feel a cold coming on. You just need to go to bed. You need to do your exercise, take care of your life, have a private life, all that. But at the end of the day, He's a partner in crime where I've seen how rewarding dedication to your patient population is. It's, again, I'm sure his wife has stories too about, oh, you know, he's always studying or whatever. But at the end of the day, he's provided so much to the community in regards to answers for solving radical healthcare issues. And that's what this is about. Hey, we found another possible cause for weird mystery illness. And don't forget to include it on your differential diagnosis, which is when you look at a patient, you say, okay, you have fatigue. Well, I know 200 reasons you could have fatigue.
Yeah, let's start.
Is it this? Right. Guess what? In most cases, by the time they come to us, we need to look at all of them. And we see people who have been to Mayo Clinic, and we've seen people who have been to the neurologist and their local primary care, and they do a little slice of pie. And if the pie doesn't answer the question, it's just kind of like you forget about the patient. I struggle with that.